As we can continue our study in Acts ministry today, our church does not have a nominating team. You heard mention about a budget team. That is our deacons and staff and ministry leaders that come together, and we help prepare the budget to give to the church, and we'll be doing that so that we can vote on a church budget for 2020 around the 1st of November, the first Sunday of November. But as we are preparing those things, it's just people that have volunteered to serve in different roles of leadership or servanthood according to the gifts and the calling of the Lord Jesus Christ upon them. And we come together as the body of Christ to make those determinations, not only financially, but also to serve in ministry. And so today we're going to have our Acts Ministry Fair. And I certainly encourage you all to be here at 5 to participate in that. It's a time that should be kind of festive, but yet at the same time, a time that's very important in the life of our church. It's a time when many will come and sign to serve in different ministries and different roles. It's an opportunity for everybody that's a member of this church to participate, and you're encouraged to participate. And as we come to our study today, we've been studying in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we looked at verses 1 through 12 last week. And we're going to look at verses 14 through 31 today. Paul is talking about the spiritual gifts that are given to believers by the Holy Spirit. It's a gift or gifts that we receive at the time that we become followers of Christ. But also, as he is talking, he's talking about unity. And folks, I want to tell you, we can't accomplish anything for the Lord that's going to glorify him if we're not unified together as the body of Christ. And so he's not writing and arguing for the need for unity, even though there was that need in the Corinthian church, because there was great division or schisms between them over some looking to the sign gifts of healing and speaking in tongues, and especially the tongues as a confirmation they had some greater gift. And Paul's been saying through the first half of the chapter that all these gifts are given by God, through the Holy Spirit, for his will and his pleasure, in that sense that he might be glorified through his people, through his children. And that with that, every gift is important. Now we're going to find out too that every body, every part of the body, every individual is important as well. And if I could tell you today, that's an important thing for all of us to remember, because we live in a time in a world today where people go from church to church visiting and attending services without joining and becoming a part of a local New Testament church and the body of Christ. But the scripture makes it very clear. There's no indication in the scriptures in the New Testament of Lone Ranger Christians, of those who are not a part of a local New Testament church, those that are not covenanted together in relationship with one another in serving the Lord Jesus Christ. But we also live in a time today when people join the church and something goes a little different than what they want or what they think it should be or they desire, that they immediately up and leave and they go to another church and they go church shopping again to find where somewhere else is going to fit their needs or what they're looking for. Let me just say, no church is perfect. It's because we're in it and we're not perfect. And with that said, just remember that when you think you found that perfect church, be careful, because you're going to mess it up if you join. So I say that and we laugh about it, but we know it's true, because we know we're not perfect. But at the same time, there is no perfect church here on earth. All these things, the problems we encounter, the things, the divisions we have with the denominations and those things, when we get to heaven, they're not going to exist. If some people think there's going to be an area of heaven for Presbyterians, for Baptists and Methodists and all this, there's one Lord, one faith, and one kingdom. And so with that, what we're trying to do is be unified here on earth the same way that we should be and will be when we get to heaven, okay? And so as Paul is writing, he just assumes that unity is understood. Now let me just say, when we talk about that, there's a difference between unity and uniformity. And the unity is that we're united with one common purpose and one goal, and it is one Lord, one faith, and one kingdom. And at Ebenezer Welcome, it is too that we are here to glorify God. And I'll read to you our mission statement is to worship God by serving others, witnessing to all, and making disciples as we go. That's pretty biblical in our goal of what we're trying to pursue. But let me just say this, that doesn't happen because a few people decide we're going to be obedient to that mission, that goal, and we're going to try to go towards that goal, and we're going to try to accomplish this for the Lord, and we're going to go out and tell people about Jesus. We're going to then make disciples of those who come to faith, and we're going to serve those that are followers of Christ and those who are not followers of Christ, and then through that, we'll make disciples who reproduce. Notice that all of us participate in that. Every one of us have a place, and there's a need for everyone that's a part of this local body to serve in and through this church in ministry throughout this community. And if some of those ministries are primarily to minister to the body, some are to minister to those outside of this body to reach those that are lost, to show the love of Christ through our love for him and our lives committed to him with everything that we say as well as what we do. You see, a lot of times we're good at talking about it, but we don't always walk it. And what Paul's challenge is, we have to live it and we have to walk it. But let me just say, too, the great thing that I see here, too, and as I look out upon the church, is the diversity of the church. Now, let me just say, as I'm sitting in this particular congregation, one thing that's not real diverse is racially. I would love to see this church more racially diverse. that it would represent more of the Bible, that we are living in the way we're reaching out to those around us that are from different races and different nationalities, that they too would hear the message of the gospel. They too would come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that we could serve together as one family, one body of Christ, without any hindrance, without any problems between us, that we would match up with what Scripture teaches us when we go proclaiming the gospel, when we're building relationships with those for the intentionality of sharing the gospel. And so with that, it would bring even greater diversity too in the gifts and the way that we look and the way that we serve as a church. And with that, that we are diverse in the gifts that we have and how we use them. I always love watching new believers as they begin to experience, as you're helping them try to pray and try to discern the will of God for their lives, and you're trying to help them to understand the gift or gifts that the Lord's given them, and then how they're to use those gifts, and they begin to use those, and how you see them very timid at first. Some of it is, you know, thinking, well, I haven't been a believer very long, so I'm going to submit to those that have been a believer for a long time, and they'll tell me what to do. I wish that were the case, but it's not always the case. We should be. We should be helping make disciples of these young believers that come to faith, teaching them the things that we do as Christians and why we do it, and tell them why we believe what we believe, making disciples doctrinally and otherwise. But with that, that we share with them the whole time love. Because the one thing you understand about a baby, whether it's a Christian or if it's a physical baby, is they have to be fed. They have to be changed. They have to be taken care of. You have to love on them, and you have to express that nurturing and that love to them, even at times when they're not lovable. And sometimes when they're crying and it seems they're complaining, or they get a little bit older and they can talk and everything's about me, and you hear a lot of that in the church, just like you do out in, with children in the world. And so Paul is saying every one of us are gifted with different gifts. But every one of us are part of the one body of Christ. And every one of us are needed, and there's an important role that we play. And so he begins to give, first of all, an understanding that the gifts of the Spirit in verses 14 through 31, beginning in verse 14 through 20. He says, "For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, 'Because I am not a hand, I'm not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? Or if the ear should say, 'Because I am not an eye, I am not of the body,' is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, where would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet one body." You know, as you read this from the Apostle Paul, we know that he's inspired by the Holy Spirit, but he's also writing an understanding of his own understanding too, of an example here that would hopefully ring a bell and touch the hearts of people. They begin to understand for the application of it. But when we read this, I remember even as a young person reading this, I thought, this is kind of silly. It's kind of hilarious. Because even as a young person, I learned that the body, you know, you only have two ears, two eyes, one mouth, two hands, and two feet. And so with that, you know, the Lord has created us exactly the same in those ways. Now, I understand people are always looking at the obvious. There are some birth defects. There are some things that happen. We understand that. But in general, most people have those characteristics alike. But the thing that he's saying here is this, is what if the ear or the eye should try to rebel and basically say, you know, what if I'm not this person, I'm not this part of the body, so am I a part of the body? You know, we can look around, a lot of times we do, we look at others and we see the gifts that they have, and sometimes we desire those gifts almost in envy or jealousy. Maybe it's someone that has a gift of understanding the word and teaching the word very well and that is very intelligent, but yet can teach the word in such a way is so simple to take complex aspects of God's word and just lay it out there in such a way that children can understand it. And certainly adults have no problem understanding it. And to say, I wish I could do that. We have had a professor there at Southeastern. We were there, Dean Bush, that I did not take him when I was on campus because I'm not good with computers anyway, but I was told that you couldn't bring any extra resources in. You couldn't type your notes. You had to handwrite all your notes. And then from the time you walked in the door to the time you left, you were constantly writing notes. But the thing about it, too, was I had heard Dean Bush a little bit around chapel. And I knew, too, he used vocabulary of these big words, and I didn't even know how to write them down, try to go back and look them up later to see what they meant. And I thought, man, this guy's way above me. I mean, he's so scholarly, there's no way I'll be able to pass his class. But I also knew this, too. I had to take him at least one time. Because when you were on the mission field, he would always come out at least one of those 2 years that you were out, and he would teach a course and gather up all the work that you had prepared to turn in to him. And, you know, the neat thing about it was he was one way on campus, but he was always different when he was with the missionaries. I didn't know that ahead of time. Now, he was the same scholar in both places. But as he taught us for over a two-week time period in that class, I mean, I sat there day after day and thought, man, he is just like shooting bullets right over my head. I still don't understand what this man was talking about in many ways. But, you know, the Lord, through God's grace, I passed the class. But here was the thing. On that one Sunday, we had about probably somewhere in the neighborhood of about 60 or 70 people with children and all gathered together. And I understood that he was going to preach that morning. And we had a lot of young children that were probably somewhere between 3 to 8 years old. And I thought, you know, I can't even understand what he's talking about when he's teaching in class. How is he going to be effective in teaching these children? Because I thought, well, some of the adults will take them off and they'll have children's church with them separately. But he specifically requested, no, I want all the children there. And I want to speak to the children. I'm here to tell you, he knelt down for those precious children. And he shared the scriptures in such a simple and easy to understand way. And yet challenged adults while he was preaching to the children. He was preaching to the adults. And I thought, Lord, I don't have that kind of mind. But if I could have that kind of ability one day to speak into the hearts of children and still hold adults captive and speak in their lives in such a way that they're challenged and encouraged, what an awesome gift it would be for you to just proclaim the word of God. And you know, he was an amazing man and God took him to heaven. And he's in heaven now. But I learned a valuable lesson there. You can't judge a person on the outside. You have to get to know them. And you know, it's that way about spiritual gifts. And that's what's neat too when you sign up to serve in ministry is when you're serving is you meet other people that have the same gifts and calling and passion as you do. But we learn from one another. We challenge one another. We encourage one another in times of difficulty. We rejoice together in times of celebration. And so what Paul is challenging here about being in unity is we have one goal, and that is to worship God and bring glory to him and his name. As a church, that's what all of us should be doing. And so he is challenging here that through this description here is that while it would be ludicrous to think, well, if I'm this part of the body, that part, am I really a part of the body? Yes, you are. Let me say, too, a lot of times we tend to think that teachers and those who are deacons or those who are ministry leaders or those who have served and led in areas for a long time are more important than someone who's just walked in the door and said, I want to join Ebenezer Welcome Baptist Church. This is not a tenured church here. We're all equal at the foot of the cross. Okay? We have leaders in place, but that doesn't mean we still don't learn from those that we're leading, trying to lead, and also that we also learn how to lead by serving together. And so it's important. That's called mentoring. That's called discipleship when we do that. And a lot of people don't recognize that a lot of times is that discipleship is taking place when you're serving in a role in a ministry there and also when you're teaching others or learning from others. And that's what discipleship is a learner. Someone who comes with a heart to learn more about God and to learn how to better worship him, learn how to better serve him, how to serve others and be a better witness. And so with your personalities and your gifting and your calling, the Lord uses you to strengthen the body. But see, a lot of times people look at too, well, my gift is not necessarily one of those that we would elevate and say, well, this is what we think is important. Let me just say today, as the choir was singing, Reggie's not here today. He normally here playing the piano, and he uses that gift week after week. He's done it for over 40 years. Is there people that are helping with sound that help prepare this Brandon coming and playing? And all these things happen. So for you to just walk in and didn't know Reggie wasn't going to be here today and didn't know these things were happening, even as my voice is being projected now through the sound system, there are people quietly using their gifts to help bring glory to God. They don't always get recognized. To be quite honest with you, a lot of times it's the singer, it's the one who plays an instrument, it's the one who speaks and the way that they speak and the eloquence of it and all those things that get recognized by people. But it can't happen if people are not faithful to the little things that have to be done, that don't get all the attention. It's not this glamorous thing that you're doing, but it's necessary and it's important and it's needed. And the church cannot glorify God properly when we're not all serving in those roles and giving of ourselves in those ways. And so Paul begins to challenge here is that we all are a part of the same body. And as ridiculous as he used this application, this example here, we get that. We understand that. Don't ever forget that, regardless of where you serve in the church, is that you are an important member and part of the body of Christ when you give your gifts and you serve in using your gifts for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so he challenges there in verses 14 through 20 that to live and grow and to serve, the body needs different functions. But he also challenges verses 21 through 26, the members promote unity as they discover their dependence on one another. Beginning in verse 21, it says, "And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary, and those members of the body which we think are to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that which lacks it, and that there should be no schism or division in the body, and that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it." And so as he is challenging here, he says, the eye can't tell the other part of the body, I have no need of you. You know, sometimes we get this idea, it's like, I've got my ministry. I've got my gift and my calling, and I'm serving here, and I really don't need you because I'm not a part of your ministry. Let me just say, is every part of the body has to function together to be healthy. And with that, every part of the body is needed to serve in a manner for the body to be healthy. And so we cannot disassociate ourselves or alienate ourselves. We have to cooperate together. That's why when we get into budget time, we know that we're all passionate about our areas of ministry and we're thinking we've laid out plans. But sometimes when we come together and we look at it as a whole and we say, you know, really, as we pray about this and look at this, this is more than what we can afford or more than what we can do. And it may be that somebody says, listen, I can give part of this of what I had budget for our ministry to help in this need because there's a great need here. You see, you have to have a vision. You have to know where you're going and what the Lord's calling you to do, and you have to be pursuing that vision. Because the scripture makes it very clear, where there is no vision, the people perish. And folks, there's a lot of dying churches around and because they're just going from 52 disconnected weeks, week to week to week, not understanding what the plan is, where we're going, what are we doing, what is our purpose as a church to come together individually and collectively to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. But here, the vision is that we're to glorify God through worshiping Him, serving others, witnessing, and making disciples. Following the biblical pattern of the church from day one. And that with that, God receives all glory and honor, and lives are changed, beginning with ours and in those that we impact and reach from here to the utter ends of the world. And this small church is having an impact literally around the world. I mean, you know, everybody looks at these large mega churches that are sending these people and doing these things, and they have lots of money a lot of times. Sometimes they have more people, even though when you really look at it and try to look at and figure the amount of people, the percentage-wise, they're probably about the same number of people, a few people doing the work. Few people giving. Sad thing is, I just heard on the radio the other day that out of all Protestant believers, and I saw this about Southern Baptists, it's almost identical. The average believer today gives an average of 2.7% of our income. I don't think that's a biblical tithe when I read the scriptures. And we can argue later about the New Testament and that being free of the tithe. We're not. We have even greater opportunity and responsibilities to give back what belongs to the Lord and give love offerings above that. But with that, the other thing is people are quite often more happy just to write a check than to actually give of their time. But the Lord makes it very clear, he doesn't want so much our money as he does our time and our commitment. You see, because that's a greater sacrifice on us quite often. I'm not telling you to rob God and cheat the tithe. That's not what I'm telling you this morning. But what I'm telling you is, we just in America today, we try to make that work for us just to make it easy, as I can just give money. And money is important. It's needed. But what's often more needed is hands and feet. You know, we actually were going to try to serve the JV team and football, the varsity football teams Thursday and Friday night, but we had no participation of people to try to help serve the meal. So now we're trying to just provide the meal and have others serve it. You know, it's easy to come back there now and say this, but it's the fact that's a sad statement that out of about 130 to 150 people that come here and gather here every week, we can't get 12 people or so together to go prepare the meals and take it and go serve it to feed teams that represent people that we're trying to reach in the schools here where we're trying to minister in that have great need for the gospel. And we can look at it and say it's just sports teams or it's just sports. But let me just tell you this. That's where people are at. And we need to go to them where they're at, to meet them where they're at, exactly where they're at in life, and share the gospel and share the love of Christ with them. And so that's what Paul's challenges through this to do is to be the body of Christ. And so he challenges too is that we cannot separate from one another because he says in verse 20, then those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty, but our presentable parts have no need. You know, when he's talking about these things, he's using the actual physical description of the body. And without getting in any way off color or wrong anything, he's talking about parts that we know we cover up. And we do so for a reason, because they're not presentable. But as he's talking about covering them up, he's talking about with a beautiful cloth and taking great attention to and care of. And what he's saying is that we then try to make it presentable in the right way. But there's no need to do that for the presentable parts. But you see, a lot of times we only focus on the visible. When we look in the mirror, we only look at a lot of times our hair and the ladies with their face and their makeup and their nails and all the things that are out for everybody to see, right? But what about your heart? You see, it's covered, but it needs to be covered by the blood of Christ. And with that, it becomes presentable to share the beauty of a heart committed to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Paul is challenging us here because he says in verse 24, but God composed the body. Now he did that for our individual bodies in both the presentable and unpresentable parts. We're made in the image of God. But what he's referring to here is the church. Remember, he's talking about the inner workings of the part of the body in the church. He's been talking about how we approach those outside the body, but for these few chapters in Corinthians, he's speaking to a church that's divided with many different little groups and factions in it, and he's speaking to them saying, listen, God brought you together. God composed you. When you start looking around, look at all the differences of how we are in age and personalities and giftings and all those things. And yet, everybody that's here at Ebenezer Welcome, as a member of Ebenezer Welcome, God brought us together for the purpose to glorify him, to be his witness here in this community around Ebenezer Welcome. And so God brought us together. God gave us the gifts. God receives the glory. But God also deserves our worship and our praise as part of that in serving him. And so Paul is challenged that we need to understand our dependence on one another. I've shared with you before that when we went to Central Asia, it was our family and one other young girl. It was 24 at the time, and we were the only foreigners in our city. And, you know, it went from you had Sunday school teachers and worship leaders and preachers and all this in the church, and the church we've been a part of at Forestville, and even we were at Wake Crossroads there in Raleigh, to now I'm the pastor and the leader. Kim's trying to lead in worshiping and in the music, and we're having Sunday school with our kids because they're only kids there to teach Sunday school to. We're having a time of studying the word together, and we're worshiping God together. And all of a sudden, you're reminded very clearly of our dependence upon those of the body that use their gifts in all the places in the churches where you've been a part of. And you thank the Lord for them. You see, sometimes we want to be jealous of them, but we should be thanking the Lord for the gifts that each one has received and is using for the glory of God. And then be responsible and commit ourselves to use those he's given us. And so he's challenging here that we're dependent upon one another. Notice what he says, that there should be no schism or division in the body, but that the members should never have, the members should have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Let me just say here too, is we should have the same care for one another. I have seen in some churches where depending on the person or family that's sick or that is in need or that is has received some kind of honor, is that certain people just celebrate with them, or certain people mourn with them, or certain people do for them to help them in their time of need. But let me just say this. I know we come from many different families here, and we're even at the point now, we got people from Wisconsin, we got people from New York, we got people from Oregon, we got people visiting from Missouri. We're not just a little local church anymore in the sense of the way it used to be when the church was established, where you came in horse and buggy. We live in a day that people are getting on jets and boats and planes and cars and traveling all over. This year, we've had people all over this United States, all over the world, out of this church. Think about it. It's a time where we need to think about how many people that come into our church that have moved here for whatever reason are not close to any other physical family. So when we have Thanksgiving and they're at home, you may want to invite them to say, would you come and join our family and celebrate Thanksgiving with us? When they have sickness, they don't have family members that can say, we'll prepare some food and we'll bring. Is how about you look at that and see, how can we meet the needs that are there? Or can we drive you back and forth to doctors if it's a major sickness? Can we help take care of you while you're unable to take care of yourself if it's someone who lives alone? You see, everyone should be treated the same. It shouldn't be differences based on your physical family connections or your location that you lived here all your life. It should be everybody's treated the same. Folks, what that does is open our eyes and say, listen, I need to be in tune with what's going on in the church, in my Sunday school class, in our small group meetings, in our Bible studies, in our Wednesday night studies with our children, whatever's happening, whether you serve with them or not, because it's one body. And God brought us together to glorify him. And when we do that towards one another, we glorify him. But notice that he says, too, is that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. When someone is sick or someone has died or someone gets the news that you've got cancer, there should be a point of just feeling a load of weight of bearing that burden with them, of loving them and expressing that love to them in so many different ways, expressing the love of Christ. But it goes on, too, that when one is honored, and we should rejoice with them, and we should do that well, too. And if I can say, too, I think a lot of times today we struggle more with the rejoicing with those who have been honored because sometimes we're a little jealous or envious rather than celebrating what God has done in their life and how they've been blessed and celebrating what it means to the church body as they're being a part of that. They represent this church and they represent Christ. And with that, we need to celebrate with them. So he's challenged us that we need to be reminded of our dependence upon one another. And then finally, the diversity of members fulfills the will of God in the body. Verse 27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. And then he asks some rhetorical questions that the answer is clearly no. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of tongues? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? And clearly the answer to that is no. And if you'll look at the list of what Paul's just mentioned too, he gave earlier in the chapter a list of some of the things for the gifts that the Spirit gives. Here he gives a very short list because it's not all inclusive. But what he does there is he actually begins to kind of rank those as one who's filled with the Spirit, writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. He's saying these gifts are greater. Now, he's not saying they're absolutely the best, but they're greater. The first things he mentions is apostle and prophet. We know that that was necessary for the foundation of the church. It was built upon the Lord Jesus Christ, the rock of the foundation there in Christ. But also teachers, it was necessary and still necessary today to teach the word of God with understanding and clarity. And he goes on to the other gifts. But he says not everyone has those because like we talked about last week, we have a gift or gifts, but none of us have all the gifts. If we did, that would be uniformity. And Vance Havner wrote about uniformity. He said, first there is a man, then a movement, then a machine, then a monument. And what he means by that is that uniformity leads to death. That's why there needs to be great diversity, but yet unity within the body of Christ. And so as we're closing today, Paul is leading up to what we will finish with next week in chapter 13, that the greatest of all gifts is love. And that is what leads to maturity. And that's what allows us to serve together without envy and jealousy. That we can serve lovingly together. You know, when I was reading this, I thought about the high priestly prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ found over in John 17. As he was praying, he prayed for his disciples and he prayed for us today. And as he prayed there in verse 20, he says, I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word. And listen to what he says, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you. That they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I have given them, that they may be one just as we are one. I and them, and you and me, and they may be made perfect in one. Folks, that's the love of Christ for those who are going to come to believe through the witness of the disciples there at the time he ascended back to heaven. He was preparing to go to the cross and then back to heaven. And he's saying that they may be one just as you and I are one. Unity. And yet, at the same time, in so many ways, we're diverse in the gifts and the calling that he has given us. I want to give a time for response here this morning to the Lord. Just come and pray. And even as you're preparing for this afternoon, you're already praying about what it is that you're going to sign up to serve in, and you're going to be faithfully committed to serve in a ministry here, in what way, through the gifts and callings that you have. And go ahead and begin to pray and commit to the Lord today. You're not committing to a pastor. You're not committing to the church. You're committing to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we do this way rather than nominate and force people somewhat into doing things. But you're committing and saying, Lord, here I am. Use me and I'll be faithful to follow you. Let's pray. Most kind and gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for the day. I thank you for each one here, Lord. And pray now, Lord, that your word would challenge us today, Lord, in understanding, Lord, the gifts that are given to us. And as part of the body, Lord, how each one of us have a role to serve in. Lord, there's a place for every one of us that's very important and needed. And Lord, that we would commit ourselves to you. And Lord, the gifts that you've given us, we would take those gifts and use them for you and for your glory. and Lord, to edify and lift up the body of Christ. And ultimately, Lord, you would be glorified in such a way that the love of Christ would be exemplified from each one of us to one another. In such a way, Lord, that with that, Lord, it would be exemplified to those that are lost. And they would see and be drawn to you through the love of Christ. Lord, we ask this in Christ's name. Amen. Would you stand?